This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We are live at Edgar's Cantina on a beautiful sunny day out here at T-Mobile Park. Mariners back home getting set to take on the Chicago Cubs for a three-game series. Game one coming up tonight. Bryce Miller on the hill for the Mariners. They'll go three against the Cubs, followed by three against the Cincinnati Reds. We'll see Ellie De La Cruz coming to town. So that'll be interesting to watch him out here, but just feels like it's going to be a beautiful weekend. It's supposed to be in the mid-60s, low mid-60s Saturday, Sunday. So perfect time to come out to the ballpark, see this team hopefully win two series. How about that? Let's take them both, Dave. Let's get greedy.
Let's do it. Let's do it. You know what? I'm going to make sure I get here for De La Cruz. He's, to me, must watch.
Yeah.
He's like Otani.
Yeah, if you're a baseball fan, there are certain players that if they pop up on TV or if they're coming to town, you're like, I want to see this guy. I got to watch this guy play. Yeah. And he's I'm with you. He's one of them, man.
Well, and I got to admit, I mean, a lot of it's his body type. I mean, what is he, like 6'5", 6'6"?
He's huge.
And he's very thin and just, yeah.
We were talking about pitchers throwing the ball 100 miles an hour. He throws it 100 from short.
Yeah.
So what we should do, you're saying we should do the show again out here on Monday. I'm sure all the staff out here with us would enjoy setting up the desk and doing pregame again before Ellie De La Cruz is here.
Yeah, just for
Why
us.
Not? Just for us.
How about if I just get a ticket, Mike? Yeah. I'll just get a ticket to the game, okay?
Now, Mike wants to burden everybody else.
I was trying to make a joke because Jeanette's here. It's her last
Edgar's.
Oh,
you're trying to get her to,
trying to get her to work more before she leaves.
She's leaving us again, so we'll see if it sticks this time. We'll see. It was a brief departure last time. We'll see if it's the same thing this time. We don't know. But, yeah, you come out, say goodbye to Jeanette as well. We're out here. It's a beautiful day. So the Mariners are in town. Jeanette's final appearance out here at Edgar's as an employee of the station. She might come back as a fan. She'll be down here just knocking back margarita after margarita. Yeah. Somebody will have to carry her out of here. It'll be one of those situations.
I hear that's what your boy, all of ours, Brandon Gustafson's going to do. He's going to come down, say goodbye. Okay. It's his last time out here. He's just in a working capacity.
He's just going to go handful of
right in
margarita.
Front of us tonight. Yeah,
he'll get carried out of here. That'll be a lot of fun. So, yeah, come on down. If you're coming to the game, come down to Edgar's, say hello. We're going to be out here. Meanwhile, we were out there at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center yesterday talking to John Schneider, and we heard a little bit of what some of the players had to say to the media, Tyler and Gino out there. And we're all kind of guessing right now what this team's going to look like. Yeah, I think it's easier to guess the defense just based on what they did in Baltimore, that we were going to see a variation of that, even though we played that cut from Uchenna, said, well, they're not going to do what they did in Baltimore. Like, all right.
Well, they kind of are.
It's going to be a variation of it. But offensively, I feel like we're really in the dark. I don't know what to expect unless we're going to go, well, here's what happened at UW with Ryan Grubb is the man calling the shots here. He is now here. So he's just going to do what he did there, which I don't think is an obvious thing. I don't think that's a completely different group of players that have different skill set. This is the pros. He's got a lot of different bodies and skill sets to work with. So I don't think that's a real natural conclusion to say, well, that's what he did there, so that's what's going to happen with the Seahawks.
Yeah, but I mean, some of it, I guess you can kind of see his style. And one of the there was a couple of plays that I watched Husky games this year where, you know, very like throwback, like traditional. So number one, you got quarterback under center, and then you're doing that sort of post and pull type of, you know, simple blocking and then play action pass off of that. And then the other thing I really hope that we see, throw the ball to DK. Please, throw it up. I mean, he is going to win. He's going to win battles. And there was too many times last year that just didn't happen. And, you know, it was like they were just afraid to do it or something. I don't know. I mean, I just think it's, you know, number one, he's a beast. So somebody's probably going to foul him, right?
Yeah.
They're going to get a penalty trying to cover him. And then he's the most athletic guy on this team. And I know there are DK haters out there, which I really don't understand. I do not understand. He's a great kid. And, you know, he works his tail off, but he's also just an athletic phenomenon. So, yeah, I think those are the things that I want to see, Bob. That's my wish list from our offense. And, you know, a few of those things we did see out of Ryan Grubb at UW. So hopefully Mark Schlereth always talks about quarterback under center and how play action pass is so much better. And I always bring up, you know, when we played the Cincinnati Bengals,
Boomer
always, he was always so good, but it was always under center and it was really hard. I mean, the ball's hidden. So
when he committed to it, like nobody,
it was like a nearly magician. Impossible. I remember preparing for the playoff game we played against him, and it was the hardest thing that we had to do.
He's like one of those sleight of hand magicians who's doing something right in front of you, and you're like, I don't know where the coin is.
And you know, and I think you can work to be that. You know, it's like whenever they talk about, they're not a good screen team. Like, they don't run screens, and that's kind of been the case with the offenses here. We're not a big screen team. Why not? Why not? You know what you need to do? You need to work on it. You know, you need to run the play. You need to work on it. So there's another request I have from the offense on the offensive side, but I don't know that we're going to see that. But, yeah, I think it's going to be something somewhat similar, what you did at UW.
One more I would throw in there as a request. Use your tight ends. Could they be part of the offense? That'd be kind of cool, especially if, you know, we've talked about all the mock drafts, and we'll see which one ends up being the closest. But in a couple of them, we've seen Brock Bowers, the premier tight end in this draft by everybody's estimation, falling to the Seahawks at 16. Now, whether that happens, who knows, and who knows how John views him and how McDonald views him. They may not view him in the same way, or maybe the tight end overall isn't a huge component of the offense that they have planned. I don't know. And
you got three or four really good receivers.
Yeah,
already.
I just have tight end envy, Dave. Yeah. When I watch Kelce, when I watch Andrews, when I watch Kittle, you see what a weapon they are, and I'm just like, you know, we did this exercise before looking at stats for the Seahawks and the history of their organization, not just in the Pete era. Since this team came into existence, the greatest tight end, statistically speaking, is Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
And we know how fans feel about him. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think he gets a fair shake. I feel like he doesn't get credit for what he actually produced while he was here. But that tells you how little, for whatever reason in the history of this organization, how little the tight end has been involved. It's been a big part. They've had games, certainly, big games here and there. But overall, it just, especially as the tight end has become more prominent on other teams, and we're looking at it going, well, how come we can't do that? Why don't they throw the ball here to the tight end?
I don't want to discount Kittle and Kelce. Like, those guys are really incredible. I mean, they're amazing athletes and really, you know, really good at what they do. But yeah, I think typically it's a pretty easy throw. It's, you know, play action. One of my favorite plays, and I think it's the hardest, I remember the hardest to defend was a play action pass down on the goal line. Because, you know, everybody's coming downhill, and if they run it the right way, and a lot of it, you know, you talked about Boomer committing to it, but it's also the rest of the offense. You got to really make it look like a run. It was nearly impossible to pick up the tight end. So, I think that's, you look at number 16, I mean, that could be a spot. And I've seen him in a couple of mock drafts go there, but just when you think you got John figured out, he's going to go and take, like, maybe Michael Penix. How about that?
Again, either of those would be really exciting. I could see people being super excited and others going, why would you do that? You need this spot more. You need this kind of player more than you needed that. So, you know, I'd expect complaints regardless. But, yeah, that would be just to dovetail on your request for the new offense. I'd love to see the tight ends become more of a weapon. We'll see what happens there. But Gino was one of the guys out there speaking with the media, and here he talks about how guys have been learning Grubb's offense.
I've been watching a lot of Husky film, and those boys are lighting it up. But Coach Grubb, man, he knows his stuff. He knows his system, knows how he wants it done. You can tell he's very confident in his play calling and the way that he's going to get us, you know, to do things as an offense. And, right now we're just in the beginning stages of learning this offense. And, every guy is studying their butts off. You know, I was with the receivers just a few minutes ago going over some of the passing concepts. And, you know, we're trying to learn this thing as fast as we can so that when we hit the field, you know, it's a smooth transition and we're just, you know, going at full speed and you know, just getting these things together.
How do you feel about Gino? You know, I think one of the things, I guess we haven't really got a chance to talk to him. and I'd like to get, you know, just kind of one-on-one every once in a while. But
I haven't spoken to him one-on-one since he's been here,
yeah,
as a backup or as the starter. We've talked to him in a group in the post-game press conferences, but one-on-one, no.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a good dude. I think he works really hard, and that's really important. But I feel like we don't really know him. And then also, you know, again, wow, that was really close.
That one got me on the shoulder.
Did it?
Yeah.
Man, how'd that come through? Or is this guy... Did he accidentally throw the ball over the fence?
No, I think it bounced. I don't know.
We're taking fire, man. Hey, how about a heads up? How about a heads up?
How come he didn't catch that one?
Yeah. Man, that could have smoked you, dude.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah.
Matt Nelson has seen a ghost.
It's a grazing.
I'm scared for him.
Yeah. Are you okay, Matt?
Scared Matt.
That did come out of nowhere.
That was wow. Anyway, what were we talking about?
How did it get
the
through?
Crap out of me. But yeah, Gino, I just think he is, it's really such a pivotal year for him this year because, you know, really surprising year that first year. Last year, not so much. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how he comes out this year.
Tyler, another guy who was out there speaking with the media, and he was breaking down what he's learned so far about Grubb and that offense.
I mean, I think when you talk about Ryan, like, I think he's, like, a real secure person. Like, he understands who he is. Like, the composure, I think, is incredible. He's standing up here. He's talking about an offense. Obviously, it's his, but, you know, you could tell, like, he respects it and he appreciates it. And it's an offense to where, like, you really have to study and you got to be intellectual to be able to understand it and to be able to learn it because it's a lot of memorization. And so I do think it's really cool. I do think it's unique. I do think he has a lot of creative ways. When you listen to him talk, it's like, you know, you see the game the same way as he sees it. And so I'm super excited just to be able to kind of like learn from him and just kind of see what he brings to this team.
How long do you think it takes? I mean, I don't know how dramatically different it is from what they were doing. You know, I'm sure the verbiage has changed, all of that. But I'm wondering, at what point is it fair to expect this should be second nature? You should just know when they call XYZ, you know exactly where you're supposed to be, and this is what's going to happen on that play.
Yeah. I. How long does it take? I mean,
is it realistic to expect week one you should have had all that worked out during mini camp and OTAs and preseason, and you should at that point enter game one with that sort of level of comfort? Or is it still going to be like, all right, you might take a few weeks in the regular season before?
Yeah, I think they're pros, man. It better be when they start practicing, really. I mean, get that down. Now you got to go out and put it into motion, into play and everything. But I think you know, they're professionals. It should be something that they get down, and it's just automatic. Now, some of that's going to be, you know, learning the new lingo, right? You know, what they call certain things. I always talk about how when I went to Denver and they called things weird, goofy, whatever. But yeah, that's another part of it. But you know, that's exactly what John Schneider was talking about, and that's what he wanted. He wanted teachers. He wanted guys that know how to teach. And if it's really complicated, and I think a lot of people might have heard that and gone, yeah, it's complex, you have to be, as Tyler said, intellectual. But if you're a good teacher and you're able to make it make sense, so now you don't, it's almost like second nature, you don't really have to think about it. You know, it's like I was talking about the Dallas Turner, the linebacker from Alabama. Like, he doesn't think about things, he just does it. He just has a natural innate instinct. And I feel like, you know, if you can get that down and teach it the right way, which is what John wanted to get out of the coaches, then it's not going to be a problem.
Yeah, it's, and you wonder if there's going to be a sense, we played that cut from Uchenna yesterday where he was talking about the defense being a breath of fresh air. And then he was talking about people are smiling now, people are communicating. And it was kind of a weird implication as to what was going on there before. But, you know, when you think about it, it kind of made sense because they weren't good. So I wouldn't want to hear about, yeah, we had such a great time last year. We're joking around, smiling. I'd be thinking, why would you do that when your defense was playing as poorly as it did? So it made sense. But remember this cut we heard from JSN. He was talking on this Bears podcast at the Super Bowl. And when he was asked about Shane Waldron, remember that? Take a listen to this.
Bears fans are super interested about the offensive coordinator coming in, Shane Waldron. What can you tell them about who they just hired to try to get this offense where it needs to go?
This is live?
Yeah. We're not live. We're not live.
I'm playing. good luck to y'all. I mean, he's a great person, great offensive coordinator. I was very lucky to have him my first year. Learned a lot from him. I think him and Justin will mesh well. And, you know, adding more guys around him, I think it would be great. So we'll see.
Do you have any advice that you give to Justin in that situation, considering that you know the coach that's coming in?
Oh, yeah. I mean he's going to love Justin. So really just Justin, be yourself and go make plays for real. That's it.
Fair enough.
Well, Justin doesn't need to worry about that now. He's elsewhere. But that was a very interesting response where he's like, I wonder if he represents maybe a feeling that was going on the offensive side of things. Perhaps they felt like, you know, what they were being asked to do wasn't the right thing, or it didn't fit the personnel, or just some level of dissatisfaction with the way the offense was being called.
Yeah, I think the pause there and everything, I feel like that was maybe him just not being ready to go, and he didn't realize, he asked if we're live. But yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it's funny, you kind of pair that, and you know, Mike put this in here because of the Uchenna thing. I mean,
yeah,
that kind of sounded like it wasn't that great, or maybe, you know, they don't speak the same language. I remember having coaches where I'm just like, man, I have to interpret everything and turn it around in my brain to
make sense.
Yeah, it just didn't click. So, you know, maybe that's the case. I think Shane Waldron's a really smart guy, but maybe it's just the way his process, you know, because if you do it right, if you teach the right way. And I just remember sitting there going, yep, that makes sense. Yes, that makes sense. You know, as the coach is going through it. And, you know, we had Tom Catlin here. He would always, the most proud I was ever in my whole career, I was proud of myself, is he would always say, at the end of the presentation here, I'm going to put in, you know, 3-4, cover 3, whatever, save your questions to the end. And then at the very end, I asked a question, and he was like, that's a great question. And I was actually, you know, I was so proud of myself.
You stood up and took a bow.
Yeah, but like usually when Tom installed a defense, there was no questions.
Yeah.
You know, afterwards, he would be like, and then he would do the what ifs. Okay, what if this happens? What if that happens? He had a very good process for teaching. So, and, you know, you really have to have that down, because you're going out there and, you know, there's all kinds of other things that you're dealing with, whether it's, you know, being dehydrated and out of breath on the field. And this stuff has to come to you quickly. And, you know, if it doesn't make sense, it's not going to.
Hey, we were talking about mock drafts. Sent you another one. This was a full mock, the full 7 rounds from CBS Sports. So in the Seahawks selection, so they didn't do trades or anything. They just went, here's the Seahawks 7. I won't give you the names, but they go first pick, tight end. Their next pick, quarterback. Their third pick, cornerback.
Yeah.
The next one, linebacker. Followed by tight end, wide receiver, and center.
So two tight ends.
Is that right? Yep. Two tight ends, a quarterback, a wide receiver. So far we're looking at position groups. You're going, are those the most pressing? So this feels like they're trying to get into John's mind here. He's going to go best available. And they've got, so Brock Bowers is the guy they've got going to him at right. 16, which I think we'd all be pretty excited if that happens. Their second pick, Spencer Rattler, quarterback out of South Carolina. We talked to John about the visit they had with him and Bo Nix.
He brought him in.
So that's not a crazy thought for that to happen right there. And then, again, a cornerback, which you don't feel like they're in a pressing need for a corner, but okay. And then a linebacker, Tyrese Wright out of UTEP. And then another tight end, Jared Wiley out of TCU. Devon Vele, I'm not sure if that's how you say his last name, wide receiver out of Utah. And then Drake Nugent. Center. Another center from Michigan. Probably got Oluwatimi as center out of Michigan, and they've got him taking another one with the 7th round pick.
Yeah, I mean, would anything that John did be weird? Yeah, it's going to be weird, but
that would truly prove his theory, though, that it's best available, it's not drafting for need, because you go tight end, quarterback, cornerback for your first 3 picks.
Yeah, seemingly not a position of demand.
Yeah.
We're talking interior offensive linemen. We're talking second-level linebackers. We're talking maybe a safety or two.
Maybe an edge rusher. Maybe even some depth at the interior defensive line. I mean, yeah, it just feels like there are many other spots that you'd put above a tight end, a quarterback, and a corner. But yeah, we'll see what happens there. But Brock Bowers, that's the latest one that has Brock Bowers going to the Seahawks. I would imagine fans would be, and you bring up Penix, they have Penix going 13 to the Raiders in this one.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's very rare that I see a player in college and I'm like, wow, that guy looks like he can play in the pros right now. Bowers is one of those guys. I remember feeling that way about who's the kid from Notre Dame that got catfished? What was his name?
Manti Te'o.
Oh, at a Notre Dame. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I remember watching him going, man, this guy, he's playing pro football right now. And then he got all screwed up and, you know, things didn't work out for his career at all. But I look at Brock Bowers and I'm like, wow.
Feel like he could be a difference-making tight end like a Kelce, Kittle,
yeah.
Andrews.
I mean, he's big, he's strong, he's got good quickness, and he's also, you know, got very good hands and looks like a guy who can block. I haven't paid a lot of attention to that, but, you know, he's a bigger dude. And, yeah, he just looks like he's just dominating.
Yeah, if they go Penix, I'd be excited. If they go Bowers, I'd be excited. I wouldn't think it addressed your most pressing needs, but it'd be a lot. There'd be a lot to look forward to, especially if they went quarterback with their very first pick. That you asked if that would surprise me. Even as unpredictable as John is, I would still feel like, wow, really?
I know.
Yeah. I would be surprised.
Well, and I think he would probably get some heat for it. I mean, look, you remember last year they were everybody was on him about taking a running back in the second round.
And, 2 years in a row.
Yeah, and then the other thing was, remember the 2013 draft, which is, I'm sorry, 2012-13 was bad. But it was bad league-wide.
Yeah.
But 2012, he got like a D-minus or a D-plus or something for that draft. And now it's talked about as being one of the best drafts of, you know, NFL history.
Yeah, they crushed it.
They did.
All right, coming up, the Seahawks continue to add to the draft intrigue at one position in particular. We'll get into that next, coming up with Wyman and Bob, live from Edgar's Cantina. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone-on-bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
Planning to go to more than one Mariners game this season? Consider a Mariners Flex membership. You can choose your games and seats as you go all season long. Plus, save at least 10% on tickets and pay no fees. Come on board today at mariners.com/flex.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
We continue live from Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Park. Got the Chicago Cubs out there warming up on the field. It's amazing. Every team we see, doesn't matter who it is, they warm up throwing a football out there. These guys have a football going. One guy's got a nice tight spiral. The other guy, not so much.
Well, they pretty much all can throw, but there's not good catching going on out there, Bob.
Yeah, this the guy to my left, I don't know, I can't. He's around the corner, but that ball's not coming out very clean.
Yeah.
There's a little wobble to it.
I don't think he did not grow up throwing a football.
Yeah, watch this ball here.
Yeah, not good. And also his hands are really not good.
Yeah.
Not good. Can he hear us, by the way? He's standing right there.
Terrible throw. Oh. He can now. We were talking about this in the previous segment. We had our conversation with Seahawks president of football operations and general manager John Schneider yesterday. We talked about a bunch of different things, but we talked about some of the visits they had, and two of the visits that we know of are quarterbacks in Bo Nix and then Spencer Rattler, the guy that we saw in the most recent CBS mock draft that has the Seahawks taking him in the third round. But here's what John said about you bringing those guys in and the reasoning behind it.
Yeah, no, we don't study quarterbacks. Just because we've only drafted two, I get it.
Yeah.
We want to get to know these guys a little bit better and spend time with them. And Spencer's a real impressive guy, and so is Bo. And we just wanted to be able to spend a little bit more time with those guys, have the coaches be able to spend more time with them on the board. And, yeah, you want to cautious of their time as well. They're out here on West Coast visits, so try to set those up when they're, you know, visiting the Rams, the Chargers, the Niners, and try to fit those in. And we love Sam. We love what we did, being able to acquire Sam. You know, we talked about the age. He's got the experience, but that doesn't preclude us from, you know, what we do in the draft.
Well, look at him with the big fancy word, preclude.
Preclude. Look
yeah.
at you.
Jeez.
Going to school.
Yeah.
Learning.
Yeah.
But what do you read anything into that? And also that they haven't, by any account that I've heard, talked to Penix, and Grubb is there and can tell them everything they need to know. But
right.
I would assume maybe John would want to speak to him at some point. I know they had people out at the pro day and everything. But what do you think of that? Do you look at these, again, seven picks and go, yeah, they got needs.
Yeah.
Quarterback isn't one of them, but we've talked about not being surprised. Do you expect one of these seven to be a quarterback?
I think he would take a quarterback. Like I said, now I'm going to talk myself into this by the time we get to the draft in a couple of weeks, but I've in the back of my mind, there's a voice that's saying he's going to take Penix with the number 16 pick.
He might. You might be dead on. I mean, I'd be surprised just because it's a quarterback period with the first pick, considering what they just did with Howell. But
yeah,
knowing his history, and he even made a joke like, I mean, only because we've only drafted two of my time here. He's yeah. right. Russell Wilson and
Magoo.
And Magoo.
Yeah.
Magoo. So, yeah, he's right. And that's not his philosophy coming out of Green Bay.
Right.
So they haven't really lived up to that portion of what he did there, which was, hey, we look at a quarterback every year, draft a quarterback every year.
Yeah, well, and I think they do that, and they're serious about it every year, no matter what. And they haven't put it into action. But I get the feeling from John that he's very disciplined about his due diligence, as he calls it. That they're going to look at every single player. And then the other thing is, you know, I think that once you do that, and then the guy, let's say, he goes somewhere else, if he gets cut, or you know, there's maybe a trade or something. I mean, like Leonard Williams, for example. Mm-hmm. I know that John's had his eye on him for like 5 years. Like he really, really liked him and coming out of college. And so, you know, I think that serves a tremendous purpose. And they're seeing so many guys. I don't think reading it, you know, you can really read too much into it. But I do think that, like, quarterback's the most important position on the team, on the field. And, you know, and I'm not saying they're just going to magically pull off another Russell Wilson draft, you know, but it's – you know, he's had pretty good luck with quarterbacks. Like, you know, he was looking at Mahomes. He was looking at Josh Allen and kind of a random time. So I guess it doesn't surprise me, and it wouldn't surprise me. I would be surprised if they took Penix or a quarterback in the first round. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if they used maybe their fourth or their sixth to bring in somebody like Spencer Rattler.
He was also talking about they got their 30 visits that they're going to wrap up. What do you say, next week? I think there's a deadline next week. They're going to wrap that up. But yeah. Just talked about, and you just touched on this a moment ago, about how these visits doesn't mean they're going to draft every. Obviously, they can't. It's 30 people, but they may draft one of these guys. Who knows? But it, some of it is about research for down the road, free agency. Maybe somebody gets cut, what have you. Here's what he said about that.
Young man in my office yesterday, we were talking about, you know, I hope we're able to draft you. If we don't draft you in 4 or 5 years, you know, maybe you'll be looking at us and remembering what your experience was like at the Seahawks. And that has happened to us in free agency in the past where, you know, we brought guys in, they've had a great visit here, they've experienced the building, they've experienced the atmosphere, and they loved it, and they, you know, they're excited to come back in free agency. So that's a really good point.
Yeah, he's because I think they had some high school kids out there yesterday, right? And he was talking about, you know, in the draft 4 or 5 years from now.
Yeah.
I think he was making reference to that time frame. But, yeah, I mean, just getting, you know, putting an experience, it's kind of like putting a little money in the bank with some of these guys. Like, man, if they had this great experience here during their little combine there yesterday, that's something they'll hang on to, whether it's, you know, a high school kid when he's ready to graduate college and be drafted, or they become a free agent down the road and they had that memorable moment with the Seahawks and really enjoyed it. Yeah,
you know, I think also it's just what John does. I mean, that's, you know, what do you do? You know, that's what he does for a living. Like, yeah, I get to know these guys, I profile them, I, you know, and I asked him the process yesterday about, you know, what is he looking for, and, you know, he had that was news to me. I thought that they had something sort of like it, but when he was saying that they can get film on deep balls thrown on a certain player, mm-hmm. like that is unbelievable that you're able to just, because what you had to do in the old days was just sit through the whole thing
and manually just go through and cut it all up.
Well, and you know, when they talk about what cutting the tape or whatever, like you used to have like a little chopper and then you lined it up on the tape. Yeah, and put the tape on. And I mean, it was, but no, I mean, I think that's just what he does all the time. And that's his favorite thing to do. He's really good at it. And I think it's just something that is just going to be automatic, because he's almost like kind of surprised when we're like, well, what, why would you look at that guy? And like, I feel like he always wants to go, because that's what I do. You know,
it's my job.
Yeah, it's what I excel at, and that's what he's really good at. But I don't know if you can ever really read anything into it. And it's always interesting to hear, like, afterwards, like, what's the rationale? Mm-hmm. And then John's called me, I think, every year, and maybe over the last 8 or 9 years, like the day after the draft, and we'll, you know, kind of give me a, you know, this is why we did this and that, and it's very, always very interesting to hear that. But it's often very unpredictable.
Have you ever said, well, that seems dumb?
Yeah.
Why'd you take that guy?
No, I try to stay in my lane, Bob.
How come you didn't take this other guy?
I already told him that he would never draft me, and that I wouldn't draft me. So It obviously, it doesn't work out all the time. The only way, and that was another thing, maybe I'll ask him next week, but, you know, the only way you can really, I think, judge how are you doing in the draft, have you had good drafts, is just to compare it to other teams. Mm-hmm. Because everybody has hits and misses, right? You know, and
some bigger than others.
Some bigger than others. And then, you know, what percentage of those guys end up on your team or in the NFL just in general. And, you know, that's kind of, but everybody has the misses. I mean, and sometimes they're spectacular.
Yeah. Like Trey Lance, Zach 10. Wilson, yeah. Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah. It's usually a quarterback, it feels like.
True.
But yeah.
Which indicates that people are like kind of reaching for quarterbacks.
Yeah. They Mac panic. Jones. I mean, you know, some of these recent quarterbacks that were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to say they're portrayed as can't miss, but obvious picks, like, oh, you got to take this guy. This is the guy.
Yeah.
And they have not worked out. So.
Hey, before we go to break, you idiots need to text in. I don't know if you forgot or maybe you're stoned or drunk by now. It's mean text. And it's at what time, Mike? 5:15?
5:15.
There we go.
What's the
Let's
number?
Let's go. 866-979-3776.
There we go.
Mac and Jack's.
He says it like he's racing.
Like, before you forget it. Yeah.
866. That's right. They're dumb, so I got to go slower. 979-8776.
No. Three seven seven six.
We'll go to break before you screw it up again.
That's 377. That's why I do it fast. 866-979-3776. That's why I do it.
If you guys made sense out of any of that, go ahead and text that number that Dave just kind of gave you. We got mean text coming up at 5:15. Meanwhile, another smokescreen has emerged for the NFL draft. We're going to hear about that when we sweep the dial. Coming up with Wyman and Bob live from Edgar's Cantina. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone-on-bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stream every Seattle sports show with the Seattle Sports app. Brought to you by Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center. Get new videos, podcasts, and articles on the Seahawks and Mariners from your favorite Seattle sports personalities daily. Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial. Every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
Well, Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah on the latest episode of their Move the Six podcast kind of think that John Schneider's background in Green Bay might lead him to drafting Michael Penix.
What's one thing that Green Bay has always valued in quarterbacks over the
big
years?
Big hands. Big hands.
Michael Penix has meat hooks for hands. Man.
Big hands. They also value, like, his long arms. Just approach that. He's
big
fast.
Arm.
He's fast. They've always.
How about when you want to send DK Metcalf over the top and you've got Michael Penix bombs away?
So a couple of things that work in the Seahawks' favor when it comes to the OC knows everything about.
Yeah.
Strengths, weaknesses, intellect. What he
knows
does,
how to play with
process,
him.
How,
knows the offense.
Knows the offense. Knows how to win with him. All those things. So you have that in play. You have Geno there. You have Sam Howell. Like, yeah, you had to get it ready. You have an opportunity to recreate some of the things that you were a part of in Green Bay when they just always rolled a bunch of quarterbacks through during quarterback school. So now there's no pressure to play Michael Penix right away. It makes a lot of sense.
It might happen. I do like that he's got meat hooks. What exactly does a meat hook look like? Does it look like what you were trying to show Dom Canzone earlier in the show with the chef's kiss?
Is that what that's called?
Yeah, chef's kiss.
Did you look that up or you just knew that?
No, I knew that.
You knew that?
Yeah, they taught me that in school.
We didn't have that class.
Chef's class.
I never had that class. it is very intriguing. Meat hooks, just big hands, I guess. But, I mean, I didn't really notice that when we shook hands with him. He came in the radio show.
Yeah, I guess they measured well. His hands measured well.
He measured well, yeah. I mean, yeah. But look, I think everybody's kind of putting two and two together there. And I sort of feel that way. Like, I wouldn't be totally shocked if he did it. I mean, Penix is a really good quarterback. He's a good dude. Even Gino was talking about him being a good guy and a good leader and fits with Ryan Grubb. But, I mean, and if you can get a quarterback in the draft, it's huge. And that's typically how people get it. But, I mean, you know, sometimes you go free agent and, you know, there's a trade or something like that. So it's really difficult to draft one. But I don't know, man. I think I would be pretty excited.
I would, too. I think it'd be fun to watch.
What would be disappointing is if they drafted a quarterback, but it wasn't Michael Penix.
Yeah.
That might be something.
Quarterback. Spencer Rattler, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Rattler may end up being a stud. Who knows? Who knows with any of these guys who's going to pan out and who's going to be a bust? Because, you know, the majority will probably bust out or become just guys. They're not going to be that superstar that everybody's hoping they're going to be. But, yeah. Maybe there's something to them not speaking with Penix. It's part of the deception. Like, yeah, we talked to Bo Nix, we talked to Spencer Rattler, haven't talked to Penix. So
yeah, you know, and we talked about this, and I was like saying, well, I think it would have been dumb for them to bring Penix in on one of the trips because you're kind of wasting it because you know Ryan Grubb knows him inside and out. But I'm like, you still want to meet with him though, I suppose, and you know, and I don't know. I don't think John does anything. Have we asked him that? Do you ever try to, like, purposely deceive other people?
We asked him about deception from others.
Yeah.
You know, sort of reading through the BS that gets thrown out there because...
I would think that he would say no, that he doesn't engage in that just because it would, you know, waste too much time. That's time spent where you could be looking at another player.
All it takes is him feeding us a line that we repeat.
Yeah.
That's literally the amount of effort he would have to put into it. Like, let me just put this in there and these guys will repeat it and their website will write a story about it and it'll take off. And it took him all of 5 seconds.
Yeah, maybe.
Sweeping the dial.
So I don't know how he finds himself in these situations, but Kevin Harlan always seems to be on a call when weird stuff happens. There was a black cat streaking down a football game. There are a few streakers he's discussed. Here is Kevin Harlan during the Kings Pelicans game last night describing something that was thrown onto the floor.
Pelicans hold on, driving into Murray. Somebody's thrown something on the floor. 46 seconds to go and a whistle blew. It's a chicken wing. Why would someone throw something that good out on the floor? It's crispy. Yes. It's warm.
Yes.
And I almost had to go out. I'm so hungry.
I hear your stomach over here growling.
What's that guy? I hope he eats it. I'm just going to save it for and put it in that little heater over there. 46 seconds to go. It's Murphy with the ball and Fox, the quick foul.
I love that he does it in the flow. 48 seconds to go. He's got the ball. Somebody just threw something on the floor, and we're going to just flow. Right in the flow of his play-by-play. That's a pro right there. I love Kevin Harlan. He's so good.
His voice is, he doesn't really look like you would think, you know, based on his voice. But, he's fantastic. And be able to, I mean, people love that stuff, you know. Some of the times when Rabel and I screw around during the broadcast, people are, you know, kind of appreciate that. But never done a play-by-play for, that. What's going on here?
It's going to fall on us, I think.
Yeah, something's going to fall. Today. Bob nearly lost his life earlier today.
And my shoulder will never be the same.
Yeah.
Sweeping the dial.
Jared Goff was on a podcast called Trading Cards, another new one, I guess. We've never heard of these either. But he kind of went into why he was annoyed at the Detroit media and why someone asked him. He kind of got into it with a reporter and he explained why. Because they asked him last year about the perceived talent gap between the 49ers and the Lions.
I have this, like, I probably need to drop it pretty soon here because I'm going to hopefully be in Detroit for a long time. But I have this thing with our local media where, like, they almost, like, relish in negativity at times.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what gets clicks and that's what sells. But it's no longer what they need to live in. Like, right. Hey guys, like we have a good team. We've had success. Like, we can be happy about that. We can celebrate that and not have to write about how, like, we're constantly the underdog. Like, no, like, teams are going to be gunning for us now. Like, we won the division and all that. And I'm probably overthinking it in my head just because it's the chip on my shoulder and the competitor in me. But in that moment, I was just giving that guy a hard time. I actually really like him. But
Jared, you've never overthought anything. That was my... And maybe Jared Goff will text in. We have a texter that says, Dave, bleep you, Jared Goff,
sign Jared Goff. But that's, he's echoing what is true around the rest of this country in major markets, is the media is different and they're aggressive. Right. And, you know, when people think we're being negative or why you're mean talking about this guy, I'm like, you have no idea. Yeah. You have no idea what it's like in New York and Chicago and Philadelphia and Detroit. And that's just the way it goes. They're not cheerleaders. They're there to talk about whatever they feel the story is. And often it might be on the negative side of things. It's just that's the mentality with the media in those cities.
Which city is the king, would you say? Is it New York?
Philadelphia.
You think Philly?
I think they're the most abrupt with their questions. If they're going to question an athlete about why do you stink, they're going to almost put it into those words.
Right.
they're going to have more grace than that. But yeah, they're.
And you were in Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago could be very, very biting. The media there, they were very, you know, they demand answers.
But I mean, look, in the past for Detroit, it's been apathy. That's the worst thing they say, right? You know, love, hate, apathy. I mean, nobody cared. And they haven't been in the playoffs for forever. But now you've got a competitive team, Jared, and that's why they're talking about you. And they're angry that you didn't go and win the Super Bowl. But welcome to the playoffs and, you know, having a good team.
Welcome to having expectations.
Right.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Coming up today is a big day for Gabe Spire. And we'll let him tell you why that is when he joins us on set. That's coming up next. We are live at Edgar's Cantina. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.